Hi there, Conscious Living and Power Radio. I'm Wendy Guerra. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your time. Got some great things happening all over the planet. People are enjoying lots of unusual and unexpected and unexplainable encounters, whether it's with extraterrestrials, people or, you know, the UFO sightings are just continue to increase. We still are wondering where that's leading up to. I've interviewed people about Sasquatch and interviewed people about ghosts and interviewed people about near-death, out-of-body experiences, the whole nine yards. And all of that has to do with consciousness, all right? And so if you are experiencing that, enjoy. And if not, well, you're human. Anything's possible, okay? We're all a part of this together. But I wanted to bring my guests together today to talk about something in an effort to kind of put things together, get more clarity. There are some tools that always seem to be helpful with that. And these are Oracle cards, Sacred Vision Oracle cards. Lynn Andrews is the author and Robert Taylor is the artist. So they're both going to be chiming in on this. If you are not familiar with Lynn, there are 20 books that will catch you up to speed. Okay. But bestseller, and she's known for her Medicine Woman series. And it's been a while since I've read them. But the Oracle cards, there was another set a few years back that I remember seeing at that time. And I know that, you know, your work, you're prolific and you have done a lot of work with different shaman from different cultures across on all over the planet. So we're drawing on that wonderful legacy as you talk about the new cards. And then Robert is an artist who happens to do Native American work. He also does have Native American history, but I like when I was reading the thing, it's like, it's not that is all you do. It's that's just a part of the element that you bring to the equation is that beautiful, beautiful history. So Robert, thank you for being here as well.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. So we're going to kick off with Lynn. Lynn. It's all about you at the moment. Okay. this is a power deck and it's different. I think it's perfect in the timing. I love the colors. I like the simplicity and the clarity that comes with it. Well, you guys collaborated. How did this get started? What brought you two to the equation?
Well, for me, I wanted to do another deck of cards because it's interactive, because it's experiential. I had done another deck called the Power Deck, which is also fabulous with a different artist, but it's much more, it's a more of a peaceful, beautiful deck. This is a deck that I wanted, and I think Robert wanted that also. It's a quickener. It's something that kind of wakes you up, like, hey, wait a minute. You know, this is your life. You have a few minutes on this earth. You know, do the most that you possibly can to learn what you came here to learn. And my position on shamanism and the sacred is, how do I impart what I have learned to you? And it seems to me that you need to experience something to really learn from it. And so I write stories, my stories, autobiographical books that have been on the New York Times and are in 14 languages. And they're about taking your power as a man or a woman. Of course, I write a lot for the empowerment of women because I'm a woman. And I see that there is an imbalance in the world. And I think also that the power of woman is increasing in the world. And you see the wars in the Middle East, all over the world, I think really is a death dance in a sense of the patriarchal system. So when you look at all this, and you may not agree with me, but I think the position of beauty in our lives brings us to the abstract, to the ceremonies, to community, to the truth that lies behind a magnificent painting or words that are created for you from a state of higher consciousness. And it is, I think, really important today for people to share their wisdom, share what they have learned. I think in our society particularly, we tend to hide. We don't want people to know that we're fragile. We don't want people to know that maybe we don't feel good enough to accomplish much. And that is a tragedy to me. So I have designed schools, a shamanic mystery school, where you can give away the feelings of abuse and move into your sacred dream in your life and feel like you are worthy. And it's not a complicated process, but I don't know, Wendy, how you feel about this, but I think that to heal something, you have to address it. You have to name it.
You have to acknowledge it. I believe that. Yes. Yes. And then it gets it out in the open, and then you can either, you know, delve into it or say, aha, I'm done with that.
Yeah. So I think the oracles, you know, we think of oracles and we typically think of, you know, something from ancient times where you go, say, to Delphi in Greece and, you know, this other person goes into a trance and then tells you what you should be doing with your life, which is, I'm sure, a very powerful thing, but it keeps you separate and apart from the sense of God or prime mover in your life, goddess beings, however you see that force. So there is that force within yourself. And what I wrote about, what Robert has painted so magnificently, is a way to access the wisdom, the truth, the power of an oracle within yourself. And you do it with these cards and with the book that goes with them. If you choose a card for the day, you're making an act of prayer in a way. And, you know, that shamanic prayer or prayer just for yourself, whatever your faith, whatever your belief, is not the point. But we pray so that we have a point of view in our daily life. And abundance, say, you pull a card for abundance, and it makes you think about what it is you're going to do today to have abundance, not only in your physical life and money, but also in your spirit life.
And when I'm, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, sweetie.
I was going to say, when I'm looking at the cards that you two have created, there, when you're saying it's a, maybe my term for this, activator, it's, these are working cards. And I think that's the dynamic that you've collaborated to bring to the equation by using the colors, the white, the yellow, the red, the black. These are significant colors.
Yes. And they represent, red is in the south, which is the direction, and there are many directions on the sacred wheel, sometimes called a medicine wheel in the mystery schools. It's a sacred wheel. In the south is manifestation in the physical. How do you take care of your physical body? In the west, oh, and that's a red card. In the west is your sacred dream, your emotions. Most often women tend to live in their emotions in the West, the sacred dream, death and rebirth, transformation. And that is a, and then you move to the North and you're a spirit card. It's white. It's prayer. What is your relationship to divinity, to the source of all that lives? And then you move to the east, which is a gold card, yellow. And that's the place of the mind, the place of the old wise one. Also something called the Heyoka, which is the sacred clown. And the sacred clown is a very, very interesting way of thinking. The sacred clown, in traditional terms, is a warrior who rides backwards on his horse with a broken lance into battle with absolute faith beyond life or death that the Great Spirit will take care of him. And so it's kind of a different kind of teaching, but it's very interesting for people to see the way other people think. The way a shaman thinks is that we're all part of nature. Nature is part of us. And as Robert says, we are all one tribe. And I say, we're all one nation or one tribe. We have different clans. And I think this is a powerful debt because it creates a community. You can sit with your family or a relationship with a friend, and you can pick a card for the day for and something that you're trying to make a decision on. And you there are different ways of setting the cards out, which is in the book that goes with them. And you ask a question. So you're in the center of the wheel, your question, so to speak. And you look at the physicalness of that question in the South, and the emotion of it. Is this following my dream in the West and in the North? What is my inspiration that I need to solve this issue? And then you go to the East and you allow your mind to tell you whether it's rational or not. If you want to be a ballerina at the age of 90, probably that isn't the best thing to do. And so the rationale, the old wise one in the East is going to talk to you about maybe something else you could do at that age. Maybe you could teach rather than actually dance.
I was going to add here, too, I want to get Robert into the picture, but as you are listening to this interview, you can go on to the web, sacredvisionoracle.com, and check out some of the cards. These are, you could actually do a reading there as well and experience it. I'll share one that I did here a minute ago. But with Robert, the thing that you bring to the equation, you've been an artist since you were a kid. I like the fact that in this book, the artwork, you give a description, the art is there. The cards are there. The explanation is from Lynn. And then you give a description of the work. And I like that because when you were starting out, from what I read in that the article they did for the exhibit you're doing now at the Oklahoma Fred Jones Museum of Art, you said you tried, you wanted to share your thoughts and your words. And until you started putting cartoons with it, nobody paid any attention. That's not fair.
That was the kismet of meeting Lynn. I started out, my art career was, I was going to be the great American writer.
Yes.
And the only place that came to fruition was in my own mind. I was stationed outside of Chicago for a while when I was in the Navy. And this is 1970, and there's a lot of underground newspapers. So I was trying to do all these writings, and I discovered the only thing they'd use are my illustrations. So I decided to go the visual arts, and kind of piggyback onto some of what you asked Lynn and what Lynn was just saying is that I think what these cards that really give the ability for somebody to do. All ceremony ritual is just a tool to help us access a higher thought process. And that's what the cards are there for, to basically act as the ignition switch. And hopefully, as you go into these and you do the lessons, or you just try to read a little bit and start your day out that way, is that you discover the one thing is that the cards have given you basically a launching pad or a ladder that you've climbed up a little bit further and you want to ascend a little further, and you realize that we are the human species. No matter who we are, the human spirit is within the breast, up there between our ears and our head. And the one thing that we want people to stop and look at is that you have the ability to do great things as long as you move forward, and to realize as you reflect upon the questions you may have is that you learn to live as an ancestor, not a descendant. We all start out as ancestors, but the whole purpose of, I was also taught we have two hands, one to help climb the ladder going up, the other to reach down to help pull the person behind you up as you go up. And that's what these cards are, that enlightenment does. It gives you the ability to say, I want to build upon this platform that my ancestors did build for me. So I must become an ancestor, not to sit on this high precipice where they've put me, to look back and down where I was at. I'm supposed to look forward and up. And that's what we want the cards to help people stop and look at.
And you both epitomize the ability to go your own way and find your unique path and not be stuck in the dogma or the drama or the expectations of a culture. Because each of you, I think what I read about you, Robert, was that when you were trying, you had an art class and the teacher asked you why you continue to draw Native Americans and why would you insist on doing that? And I liked your response.
Actually, the words that were said to me is, why do you insist on painting savages?
Oh, my. Okay. So that was even more. Okay. That would get your attention.
Yes, it would. And for the listeners, that is when I decided, when I got out of the service, I decided that the writing wasn't my forte, so I was going to try to go into the visual arts. And that was my one experience into that. And basically from that, I'm a self-taught artist.
Well, and that explains it. Yeah, they were gentle in their description. I was like, okie dokie, got the message, see ya.
Yeah.
But with Lynn, you have traveled all over the world and worked with shaman women from different parts of, from different cultures, different ethnicities, different backgrounds, and different geological heritage. There's so much in the way of seeing the world, viewpoints that are completely opposite, and yet we all have the same planet to live on. And you find this beautiful, I think, universality in dealing with just being human.
Well, I think so. And you know, this is maybe a huge leap of faith for some of your listeners. I don't know. But the work that I am doing has to do with the Sisterhood of the Shields. And it's a very private gathering of 44 women from around the world. And the wisdom that I work with is something that was seeded here centuries and centuries ago. And these sacred, there are scrolls that are held in 7 clay pots. I can't tell you where in the world, but in a very sacred place. And there are inscriptions and readings on these scrolls, not unlike, it's like the Dead Sea Scrolls, but not in the same script and not in that language. And it tells of our, well, I'd say shamanic power, but I think it's the ideals, the kinds of things, answers to the questions that we all have. And how to get there, and many things about history and about life in the future. And so, if and that's true, I believe, however you can see that in whatever symbolic way you want, I think that this wisdom probably came from the Pleiades somehow. And I think wisdom has been seeded on this earth from ancient times. And when you are ready to understand that wisdom, you can be walking along a trail in Tibet and a scroll will just fall in front of you on the trail. And there's a word for that, which in Bonpo, which I have managed to forget at the moment, but that scroll is very definitely something that you need to read and understand. And it's given to you because you can understand it. And then you place that in a sacred place for others to share. And I don't know, looking at the world and looking at the pyramids, say, of Egypt, I took some people to the Great Pyramids of Giza not long ago. And we did a ceremony in the king's chamber at the top of the pyramids. And there was, you know, those globes that float around when you take pictures, photographs.
Yes, the orbs, yes.
The orbs. And if you magnify those orbs, they are perfectly geometrically symmetric. You know, they're perfectly formed.
Yeah.
So they're not just pieces of dust, which a lot of people think they are. Maybe some of them are, but the globes were everywhere to the point they were so dense in that king's chamber. And there's a sarcophagus there. And I did a ceremony where people actually lay in the sarcophagus, and then I placed a scarf over them. And when they came out of the sarcophagus, they was a certain kind of initiation ceremony that I did with them. And as they did that, they changed. These ceremonies that we talk about in the Oracle deck and that way of thinking absolutely creates a frequency that changes you in a good way. It help. It's like it opens a door, a gateway. In shamanic work, which is basically sacred work, shamanism is a term that people really don't understand. If it's traditional, then it has to do with the tribe or the nation that you belong to. But in my sense, and in the way that I have learned it from the Sisterhood of the Shields, is that this is a gateway. It's a way of walking, as Robert was talking about, opening a door and walking into a room. And this is a gateway, walking into a whole different frequency that perhaps you're used to. And that different frequency is what Fred Wolf, everybody is talking about in the world, that we're moving into an incredible time of scientific discovery.
In some ways, they're trying to give us baby steps and little hints and clues. I would just, in terms of the Pleiades, when I maybe 10 or 15, maybe 20 years ago at this point, I was given a message that we were getting information from the Pleiades, and they said the music or the information is from the Seven Sisters. Within 24 hours, we were rehabbing a condo at that point. Within 24 hours, I found in the basement as we were cleaning out a trash bag. In the trash bag, there were seven dolls. The little women series of collectible dolls, and they needed to be restored. They were in good shape, but those were the seven dolls, which meant the seven sisters. And to me, that was synchronistic and said, indeed, that was where the message was coming from. And a very solid affirmation that this is stuff that we can connect the dots if we so choose in ways that we can feel, that we can see. Like you said, when the scroll drops in front of you on the path, that's very much like what happened at that point. I had been given that guidance and that information. And then there was the 1-2 punch of see, there you go, ha ha.
Wendy, that's great. That's so great, because the history of the sisterhood is so extraordinary. It's been passed down from grandmother, mother to daughter. It's been held by the women, because in ancient times, when there were raids or murders in villages, when crusades or whatever came through, in ancient times, usually, if possible, the women would survive. And so the teaching was given to them to memorize and pass down. And the Cathars, ancient cities were destroyed, but the Cathars kept that wisdom and they passed it on, throughout history. And I think to understand that there is wisdom in this universe, that we are a tiny piece of this universe, and that you have a life that I believe is a gift, because you needed to come here to learn something and to move into higher consciousness of some sort in some way. And there's all kinds of blocks that come up in your life that keep you from realizing yourself or remembering even who you are. So the cards, the oracle deck, is about getting through those blocks. Why do I keep marrying men that are bad for me, or women that are bad for me? There's a reason for that. And if you can see why it is within yourself that you sabotage your life, then you see why something like sacred vision oracle cards are important. It's not just a parlor game. They really do teach you, from the level of a beautiful painting by Robert Taylor to the magnificent words by Lynn Andrews. I'm kidding.
Okay, hang on. On that happy note, we're going to take a quick break. Again, and this is something that anybody can tap into, male, female, Sacred Vision Oracle Cards. And Lynn Andrews is my guest, along with Robert Taylor, the artist for the cards here on Conscious Living. I'm going to put some posts on wendyscoffeehouse.com, Wendy's Coffee House, the Blogspot links, so you can check some of this out. I'm going to talk about, in the next break, the actual cards where you can go on and get like a trial reading. And that's at sacredvisionsoracle.com. In just a few minutes, coming back with Lynn Andrews and Robert Taylor on Conscious Living and Power Radio. Stick around.
Wildfires burn millions of acres across the country each year. And each year, wildland firefighters battle to contain them. But they can't do it alone. For some communities, it's not a question of if wildfires strike, but when. And a single ember can travel more than 1 mile. As it twists and turns and floats through the air, that single ember can find its way to where you live and can ignite and destroy your home or your community. That single ember can be just as dangerous as the wildfire itself. You can't control where the ember will land, but you can control what happens when it does. You can take action now to prepare your home and your community for wildfire. Get fire adapted. Learn what you can do now to reduce wildfire damage later at fireadapted.org. Prepare, protect, prevail. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council. Learn more at fireadapted.org.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, in math, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, in biology, I learned that I'm pathetic and I'm fat and a joke. And stupid. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends.
In biology,
in English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today.
The only thing I didn't learn
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate your time. This is a really fun thing to do, to go in and find out what might be the most important thing for you to hear. Completely relax. Just get out of that, you know, daily grind and everything you have to do. Just give yourself a moment to say, quiet, peace. What next? Everything goes silent. And then you draw your card from the Sacred Vision Oracle cards. Okay, now I've got the cards in front of me, so I can actually do that. And I can pick one out and I can just say, what would be most helpful for me to share at this time? So I pick a card and it becomes one. Observe the South Red. Okay, so here it is. And it's a mind card, which I think is fabulous because I just do it. And there's that lovely little hummingbird on there from Robert Taylor's work. And Robert does animals. So these are my fun, in the deck, my favorite card is the intent, Game of Thrones. This is North and White, and the buffalo is there looking at the prairie dog. And the buffalo has this just a very interesting expression in his eye, like, okay, you're going to bring it? Hey, little prairie dog. At the same time, the prairie dog's like, oh, yeah, right. You big bully. maybe not quite like that, but you're so full of yourself. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, there's a little humor, a little whimsy, a little
like that description.
Well, you know, the buffaloes, he looks pretty imposing and impressive, but the prairie dog's like, I got a few tricks up my sleeve, Buster. Yeah. So there that is. And the intent is the one on that. But the one I drew was Observe. And then online, if you're listening, you can go online and check it out. And it's Sacred Visions or Sacred Vision single oracle.com. And I did a quick read here. Destiny, worthiness, and dreams. It's a three card read. And that is when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And then worthiness is a time of healing, the blue medicine, the recovery, rejuvenate, refresh, and dreams, the dreams gone wild, talking about what is possible. Bring your dreams to life. Empower your vision. That, to me, is a wonderful, as we're doing this interview, a wonderful insight for the time that we are presently in. Does that speak to you guys in a similar way?
No, absolutely. Yes. I think that's wonderful. And you pull that number one card, Observe, and a great teaching is in watching your mind process and do nothing at all, you know, but just watch, observe, and be a stalker of the mind. You know, watch thoughts passing by with no judgment or moral concept. The knack of meditation and the rest of the warrior spirit is to simply watch. For example, to observe this painting, feel the tone of the colors of the hummingbird, experience the passion behind the ancient symbols, and move into the spirit from which it was created. Sense the movement of air from the hummingbird's wings and the impeccability of its nature. He is a great warrior, beyond compare, as are you. And hummingbirds are extremely territorial, passionately defending their airspace. Medicine bundles are symbols reminding the owner of proper thought and action. As guardians of our own airspace, we too must exude the passion, grace, and beauty of the hummingbird. And this bird, this card, is a bird that is watchful and sees you coming. Are you an ally, or do you mean destructive activity? He rings a tiny bell, calling his spirit guardians to come. He quickly adjusts his shield, a silver coin, representing his extraordinary worth. His predatory bird feathers hang from his power bundle for strength and for vision. He sees in you great possibilities for clear perception. This hummingbird is presenting itself to you for healing. What is your shield? How is your sense of worthiness? And what aspects of personal power do you hold? Do you dare use them? Feel the warrior that lives within you. I think that was a great card for you to pull for this show, for what we're doing today, because, you know, we always think we have to act and move into action, when actually we never pulled back the bow. We never took time to set a target and set the arrow carefully at the target before you let it fly. I think Observe, great card for today.
Well, and the other thing with Robert, with your art, you also talk about the artist as an observer.
Oh, yes. I think that's basically the human nature that we have to, as the old carpenter always says, measure twice, cut once. The idea also that goes along with that, observe, the image of a hummingbird, people have to remember, I like people to remember that even in its stillness, it's in action, it's moving, but it's that moment of clarity, then it moves with grace. And that's that's what we have to do with our observation. I think that the examined life, we're back to that, that what is the worth of that versus be able to observe where you stand, to look around you, then to look up and move forward.
There's some of the things that we were talking about earlier, and Lynn was saying, you know, you have to heal some of those things that come from childhood. And you talk in your books, you talk about the issues that you had to get through, and that some of the women that you have studied with helped you. And I was reading on the teaching of the sisterhood in your dealings with being, I think, in a jungle and having to go through that and figure out what was holding you back. I'm paraphrasing it. To relate it, I worked in retail, and there was a person I saw as a potential adversary, a competitor, and I don't like competing. That's not ever been, I like playing on the same game and everybody working for a greater good. And so this for me was a contrary position. And of course, and I'm dealing reflexively with, an adversary. And when I finally decided, this is a person who also does a fantastic job in her own way, and she's been raised in a different background than I have had. She has different presets that might have been, in my view, more advantageous, which would then very subtly create a position for me of envy. Ouch! And of maybe assuming she had a better hand in life than I did. Ouch! And when I got to that, then my difference with her disappeared, and I began to appreciate more her assets and what she brought to the equation instead of my little illness and weakness of she's better than me. And I thought, my gosh, but it, you know, it's taken me a few years to get to that position. Ouch.
Well, you know, it's that comparison.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Compare one person to another. And, you know, you mentioned something about an enemy or some competition. And there's one thing in the shamanic world that sometimes you look for a good enemy.
Yes.
And that yes. good enemy is someone who tests you. And you may just absolutely not like them a whole lot. But mm-hmm. they test your strength and you test theirs. And a good enemy can certainly help you in a way if you take it that way and you don't collapse.
Yes. If you understand, this is an opportunity because the enemy points out all of your weaknesses, all of your sore spots, all of your, I am not worthy, because then you start going, this enemy can beat me. This enemy, well, it's like the buffalo and the groundhog. Oh, good grief. And when you look at them objectively, they each have incredible strengths. They each are beautiful. But when they're looking at each other, they're going, you're big. And the other one going, you're small. You know, get beyond that. And then they become each as valuable and worthy as the other, in my opinion.
Yeah. And you can
each see themselves as royalty.
Yeah.
And we're back to what we were just, you and Lynn were talking about with the idea of observe also. Is that idea of an enemy, sometimes we just have to stop and observe that and understand that there are several different paths, and people are traveling on different roads all the time. You just want to observe to see where does that road lead. And that right there will disarm a lot of people you see as enemies, because if the road is going to the same place, then it's just a different method to get there. And if they're not heading to the same place, you can see them as an enemy, or you can just see them as something you do not desire. They're heading in a different direction.
Right. You don't take on their baggage.
Right.
Because as soon as you try to mirror and meet them head on, then you have become them.
That's it.
Well, it's true. Isn't that the truth? And, you know, we do a ceremony I have a big event at the end of May every year called Joshua Tree. And we do a ceremony where my apprentices will be working on different aspects of their emotions and what they're trying to heal. And at the end of the ceremony, they take a feather for each of the good enemies that they have conquered. Like maybe someone has a terrible feeling of jealousy and lack of self-worth, or all those different things that we have that, you know, sabotage you. and they heal that. So they take a feather for each thing that they have healed, and they place them in their hair, and they paint their faces according to what they have overcome. And it's a magnificent ceremony, and it is so wonderful to see people actually do something physical, you know, like a ceremony or a dance. We have music. I have a wonderful band that plays, and they have worked a long time to have conquered these enemies within themselves. So it's a ceremony that gives them a chance to show the world, hey, I have conquered this enemy within myself. I now feel worthy. And they put this feather in their hair. And, you know, yeah.
The feather is earned. The feather is earned. Again, what if you're listening, again, Lynn Andrews, you can go to her website, lynnandrews.com. Robert, I didn't write your website down when I left the room. What the website for you?
Robert Taylor, Oklahoma Native.
Okay, Robert Taylor, Oklahoma Native.com. Okay. And you can see his work through December 30th, I think. December 30th, that's what I read here at the University of Oklahoma's Fred Jones Jr. Museum of Art, if you're in the USA and you're in that area, okay? And in the meantime.
That show will be in Lincoln, Nebraska, May, at the Great Plains Museum.
Oh, excellent. Okay. You get around. Your work does. I also wanted to say there's a card in here I really appreciate. It's a freedom card. That's one of mine that I was born with, was freedom, and that's always been, I don't know why, but that's a powerful calling, and it happens to have the hawk.
I'm looking for the card. What number is freedom?
That's 23.
Oh, 23. Good.
And so it's the yellow, and it is the wise man, the shaman. He has things in his hands. Again, one looks to be like a tiny painted owl. Another one, maybe it looks like maybe a loon, or it's a different type of bird. And then the hawk looks to be on his hand, and he's got the feathers, and he has the red bandana with the white dots on it. Each of these, when you're looking at these cards, I know, Robert, you've taken great effort to determine what elements should be included. With this one, the significance of the bandana?
Actually, that's not a bandana. That is paint. The red smeared across represents the people across the forehead, and across the top of the head, because the thoughts are for the people. And the white actually represents those moments of enlightenment and the affinity for his totem, which is the hawk, which represents the idea of bird excrement, the droppings. That's why they're just put there to give you. That's the connection to the idea of a higher power, and it's a pharyngeus hawk that's on his arm, and the bundled one right on his hand is a kestrel hawk, and it's a dance fetish wand, the black one that looks like
it's
painted.
Yes, the wand. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Lynn.
Let me just interject something. In all of the events that I give in the school, the shamanic mystery school that I have, I teach you how to do power animal ceremonies so that you, through a ceremony, through a journeying, you go down into the lower world and you find your power animal, or it finds you, usually a big surprise. And what it represents is your original nature, your true original nature. And so often we forget that. I was sitting with Agnes Whistling Elk and Ruby Plenty Chiefs one afternoon in the north of Canada, and they asked me, what do you think? This is in the very beginning. What do you think your power animal is? And I said, oh, my power animal is a deer. I know that. I love deer. And they were laughing at me and poking at me, and they gave me a really hard time often.
Yes.
And they, you know, I went through ceremony, and my, you know, this original nature is the wolf. And I said, but it can't be a wolf. A wolf is so predatory, you know. And they looked at me and laughed some more. And I'm very predatory, you know, about going down the trails of wisdom. You know, the wolves were the original lycanthropists, the original teachers. And I'm a teacher and a healer, and I work with all the directions of wisdom that I can find. So I'm very predatory for wisdom. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, you a learner. You seek it out, and with great passion and great curiosity and great depth and great, there's just no other way you would rather be. That is your power, to become the teacher, the guide, the way shower. You know, those are yours, and plus that inspiration just showers from you because you can't help it.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, this is good. It's so good that you understand that so perfectly. And people, everybody has a power animal. They don't know how to find that power animal. You know, they usually pick animals that they like. It's not necessarily your power animal.
No. Yeah, it's the one that speaks to you. And I don't know, when I was first doing the things that I have done, the channeling and opening to guidance in different ways, I started having an experience with a nightlight, which is actually an energy, a non-corporeal element that started 20 years ago, and it makes the nightlights blink. And from that, I was given all sorts of challenges and things that I needed to do. One of them was a visit that church in Sedona, that there was this incredible, beautiful painting that then has, it's Christ in front of a lake, and when the lights go off, the Christ has a cross on, he's carrying a cross. At one point when I went to that church, I sat in front of it in the dark because they don't want any light on it to ruin they have no idea why it happened and does what it does, because it was created at a time there was no phosphorescent or luminescent paint. Anyway, at one time it did a 360. It came out, the Christ came out from the picture, turned around, and I could see the cross was not ever meant to be in behind him, a burden. The cross was meant to be a guide, an illumination, and he was a way shower. So the tool had been misused and misrepresented as a tool of oppression, but it is a tool of guidance and a tool of recovery. And that was what I got from that, you know, these teachings that come to me in their own way. And this is what we are all here to do, is to figure out how to find that luminescence, that illumination. And then if the best that we can do is just live it, that's okay. If we can share it like you're doing, and that's transformational for the collective, for all of who we are becoming. Does that make sense?
Oh, it's wonderful, Wendy.
Completely.
Beautifully put.
People, I'd like all the listeners to remember that the universe is just the most magnificent library that has ever existed on this plane. And if you picture the universe as just a big switchboard, your thoughts are those little plugs that put you, that they're going to transport you into that thought process and manifest the energy that you're going to carry with you. And that's why those moments, those epiphanies, those teachings that you have, we hope that these cards can help bring that on, can be the impetus to do that.
Each one of these cards is very unique, and it all, as you're looking through them, you'll see Lynn's words, and then if you have the book to use it, you'll see Robert's expression of why those images are chosen and what it means to him as well. So I love the dynamic here. The two of you are adding both of your inspiration and your insight to these, because as you work with them, they each have different messages. And no matter how many times you've seen the card, there's another element that comes forward with this. So it's a wonderful tool, the Sacred Vision Oracle cards.
Well, thank you. So much. I think it is a fabulous tool, and I'm so glad that you see that. Obviously, you have a gift of vision as well.
And sometimes.
Well, you know, we're all made out of the same substance. That's something that I learned. I mean, I've learned that forever, but I never realized that we are exactly the same substance. And remember in ancient times, the alchemists in Europe, when the Crusades were going on, the alchemists were trying to hide their sacred vision of enlightenment. So they called that process taking lead and making it into gold, transforming it into gold, mm-hmm. which is like us in our ordinary life, and we transform into aware, highly aware beings. Well, the interesting thing is that lead and gold are made out of exactly the same substance. It's just a different quantity or a different arrangement, but it is exactly the same. So there really is no separation in life. Everything is made out of that substance. So in a sense, we are very related to the chair that is sitting in front of me. Mm-hmm. We're related to the microphone and to the phone, to everything. And so there's a wonderful statement that I have on a book of mine called Star Woman. It's called "We Are Made from Stars, and a Star, and to the Stars We Must One Day Return." And they're just figuring out that, oh my golly, yes, we are made of the substance of stars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Quantum physics, they realize.
And it's the harmonic movements in the universe. I mean, they're always in movement. And that's what the human mind is, always in movement. And that's why since we're visual, that's what the cards help. But the words are the enlightening part that take you someplace. So
the fluid. Yeah, the fluid.
Thank you. That's very good. I like that.
Well, I was just saying, on some of your cards, you have, especially in the dreaming, the ones with the black, you have the mouths open, and that's the breath, that's the wind, that is the nature of being, where it comes through in the breath. So that's that's what that. I just thought that was probably intentional.
it is. It's one of those little hooks I fall back on a lot. Many years ago, when I first started, did a painting that all pieces start with a title or a story, and the title was "Inhale His Dreaming Breath," and it was to go back to that, the idea of Christianity and God breathing in life. But that's who we are as a species, regardless of your thought process. And I'm not sure. I've been called on this by some people. I don't think there's a modern. I think any word is a modern in the language. But as far as I know, in American Indian languages, there's never been a word that was specifically for art. But there's a Northwest Coast tribe that uses a word that they use to say to designate art, but also to designate to breathe. And that is just fantastic there, because I was raised that we're all artists. Every human being, whatever your passion is your art. Mm-hmm. And that you should live life. Your body is your brush, the earth is your canvas, and your life is your painting. And to do all that, you have to breathe life into it. And that's the idea of the breath of life.
And we are the art of being in creation. Yes. We have to go. I got 60 seconds. Thank you. I really appreciate your work. I hope that if you are listening, you'll have a chance to check on how these things work for you. The Sacred Vision Oracle cards, get one for yourself and one for a friend. You can give it as a gift. You can go on to Lynn's website and check out the work and check out a test run of the cards as well. Thank you, Lynn. And thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Buy two decks and get one free.
Yay.
Yay. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Yes.
And thank you for listening. Conscious Living and Power Radio. Till next time, remember, think the highest thoughts, they come back to you.